If you like the Middle-Aged Man Talk podcast, consider giving us your support on Patreon. Hello and welcome to the Middle-Aged Man Talk podcast. I'm your host, Brendan.
And I'm your other host, Richard.
And Richard's against the death penalty.
Yep. Big surprise being a Catholic and all that.
Shall we? Oh, I'm drinking Loon Kombucha. It is not alcoholic, but it's really good. There's many flavors, and now they have cans.
And I'm drinking McKinnon Brothers Lunenburg.
Hold it up. Hold it up to the camera, good man. Let the camera focus on it. There you go. I'll figure it out. So yeah, it's real McKinnon Brothers evening.
Yeah, Lunenburg Canadian fruit beer.
So Lunenburg's in Nova Scotia, Canada.
Ooh. So it's Upper Canada through the generations, 8th century.
They can read that online.
Yep.
McKinnon Brothers. Is that our favorite brewery tonight?
I think it's for tonight, yes.
Tonight it is. We just had in the last episode, we had our wild peppermint stout, which is quite good.
Yeah, it was very good.
I'm still finishing mine.
So,
I think it's my favorite brewery. I honestly think McKinnon Brothers, definitely tonight, it's my favorite brewery.
Before we get back into, say, American politics,
why do we always do American politics? Why is it always like American politics?
I can touch on Hitler. I can touch on Canadian politics a bit, but Canadian politics are pretty darn boring compared to American politics.
Yeah, Trudeau's kind of a.
He's
the youngest, most out of touch politician.
Yes, he's
so out of touch. How is he so out of touch? Because he's rich. Is because he's a rich guy.
It's because
he grew up rich.
It's because he is not nouveau rich. He
You say nouveau rich?
Yes, as in new. He didn't earn his money himself.
Nouveau rich.
Yes.
In our last episode, you were criticizing me for using the word cultured when referring to, you know, art and music. And you're like, oh, yes, the Prime Minister's not nouveau rich.
No. As in, he's like landed gentry, to use
landed gentry.
To use a phrase that
no one will understand.
The CEO of Reddit used for the mods who
that's funny. You keep leaning it out of camera. There you go.
Anyways, so Trudeau is basically
no one wants to become Prime Minister.
He's good looking.
Wow.
A lot of women will agree on that.
A lot of women think I'm good looking.
You're at least one.
At least one. I wouldn't say that.
Good enough looking.
If they can't find you handsome.
Yes.
At least. You know what women actually find really attractive? You know, if they see you, like, you know.
Change a diaper?
I was going to say, like, just kill a man. Women love killers. It's true. It's instinctual. No, but seriously, though, if women see you do some sort of feat of strength, like a big physical thing, like lifting something.
That's practical. Lifting weights, as far as I can tell, lifting weights.
It totally worked for me in high school. Dude, I would lift all the time. Oh, my God. If girls see you lift, if you, like, have a girl over.
Okay, maybe for teenagers.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I haven't done that with a girl since I was, like, 16. But, man, did it work when I was 16. They see you just pumping on the bench, and they're like, hello, let me see your bedroom. And you're like, maybe later.
And see, this is what you look like when you lifted your teens.
Ooh, wow, yeah, look at that. Ooh, where's the beach, Richard? Is it over there? that's funny. What are we talking about? That's better than what we're talking about. So how's your beer?
It's very fruity. It's like this is
kind of fruity. There's different because there's like tropical fruity and berry fruity.
It's more berry fruity.
It's Canadian berry fruity, I guess.
Yes, it's so it's got blueberries on the thing, and yes, it's very.
Oh yeah, because Nova Scotia is a big blueberry province.
Yes, it's very. It's like drinking blueberry juice.
Love it.
So.
An alcoholic, what's the alcohol percentage on that?
Probably 5%. Oh, no, it's only 3.8. Oh, that's a light beer, too.
That could be nice, though. Like, a nice light. And it's like, it's not really hot yet, or not today, but it's, can be nice. This is a really nice lemon ginger.
Kombucha.
Loon kombucha, not kombucha. Why do you say that?
Because I'm Dutch.
You're weird. It's actually from, I think it's Perth, Ontario, which is, I don't know, kind of...
Northish?
It's north of us, west of Ottawa. It's up there somewhere. Anyway,
Highway 7.
I know the founder and owner. I've been buying this stuff for years. They used to have the big, what do you call them? The big jug things? Like the moonshine growlers. Jug? Yeah, growlers. They were selling growlers. They had different bottles and things they sell it in. And now they're finally doing cans, which is great. But they sell it at all the farmers markets, all like around Eastern Ontario. But like, mark my words, I'll say in like 5 to 10 years, Loon Kombucha might be a nationwide brand. Because this guy, he had a business degree, I think. And dude, that beer.
Sure, it's another kombucha?
No, well, maybe. It's kombucha. Anyway, this guy, I think he did a business school or something. And he had to start a business. You have to start a business when you do business school. Yeah. And he wanted to figure this out. And they started making it and selling it. And he started out, I think it was like in a family's cottage, he said, where they'd make so much and sell at farmers markets. But then to sell it in stores, you have to have like all the inspections. So you have to have like a proper commercial kitchen. So they were renting a commercial kitchen, making up batches, and then having to store and like the whole thing. But the guys really built the company from nothing. And it's really becoming a bigger brand. I was in Ottawa there a few weeks ago, and they had the big farmers market downtown Ottawa by the big football stadium, Lansdowne. Yep.
No, it's pretty impressive, you know.
From the ground up. But this is what we need. This
basically making spoiled beer, spoiled tea.
Spoiled tea.
It's tea that has stuff growing in it.
It's good.
Actually, I used to make my own kombucha, so.
Kombucha. Why do you refuse to pronounce the H? Kombucha.
Because I'm Dutch.
You're not really that Dutch, though. I asked you what a Dutch word was the other day, and you're like, I don't know.
I'm not that Dutch, but... Johanna? Johanna?
I don't care.
Anyway. Hannah spelled... So,
doesn't matter.
So,
anyway. So, you're a Catholic. We were talking about that earlier. So... Here's a funny story about a Catholic priest. So my
by funny, do you mean?
You'll find out. You're listening to the story.
Okay.
So my one of my cousins is almost like really 2 days apart in age. He's almost exactly my age, and he was going to military college, Canadian military college, to become an officer in the Navy, and one of his buddies, you know, like same year as him, this guy, you know, like some of these dumb people. Are doing things, you're like, this guy's going to be an officer in the military. He got kicked out. But can you guess how he got kicked out, this guy? My cousin's a classmate. Royal Military College, university, you're getting paid to go. How did he get kicked out? Shoplifting. And you might think, well, what did he shoplift? Was it a misunderstanding? Did it not go? He tried to steal a very expensive big winter coat, like a Canada Goose coat or something, from a big department store in the mall. And they just nabbed him because it was like, you know, $600-$700 or whatever it was coat at the time. And they nabbed him. And when they found out he was a military cadet, they called the base and talked to his CO and they just booted him out. Anyway, so he's kind of finishing up like the semester, but he knew he wasn't coming back because they kind of did it more, I guess, the easiest way, more gentle way to do it. Like, you're done, you can't come back. And
was this first year?
I think this was his second year. I think
that's even worse because
he got booed out at the end of sophomore year.
Because so RMC, for people who don't know,
the Royal Military College of Canada,
they will pay for your education, your university.
Technically, they bill you for it. They pay you a small salary and they take everything out of it. So basically, tuition's covered, books are covered, room and board is covered, and you get beer money.
Yeah,
which is amazing because you graduate no debt, guaranteed job. You would do that for 5 years. You can leave, go do anything else. However, years experience.
You have the option of dropping out at the end of first year if you don't.
It doesn't work for you.
If it doesn't work for you, with no penalties. However, if you drop out or get kicked out afterwards, you have to pay them back.
So I don't think they made him pay him back. They just wanted like a clean break with this guy because like he was never going to be like a proper military officer. So like, nah.
He's lucky then.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly how they all finagled it, but my understanding was he didn't have to pay them back, but he can never come back. He's done. I think he got his credits. In any case,
oh, they'll give you the credits. Even
but
if you
this
get kicked
is
out.
This is the kind of guy we're talking about. A guy who impulsively tries to steal a coat from the mall when he's also going to military college. Not a deep thinker. So now, a number of the women who go to military college, they're of a certain plaid shirt, short hair, stocky, strong female persuasion. You know what I mean? They like Dido music, Katie Lang. You know, they're tough girls. Girls like rugby. Lesbians. That you didn't say it. I was waiting for you to like chime in with something.
No, I thought you were.
A number of the women in military college, I would say there's a good percentage of them, are lesbians. Don't know why. Don't know why they're attracted to military. Maybe because like they like girls, like men do. Whatever. Anyway.
Have you heard the term lug?
No.
Lesbian until graduation?
Maybe, yeah, I don't know.
Maybe it's just safer for them to present as lesbians while at military college.
No, I don't think so. These girls were...
No, I'm serious.
They were pretty... Like, I mean, there's someone who's like, I'm a lesbian, and someone who's like, I'm a lesbian. this particular girl was very out of the closet, very much a lesbian. And this guy, the dummy, because she was like a couple years ahead of them, and she was graduating, getting posted, he's like, hey, you know, we get extra money, a separation pay, because if you're separated from like your like spouse or something, you get a little bit extra money, which is supposed to help with it. I think back then it was like with like a long distance calling, or maybe like for an extra trip or a plane, you know, ride to come see them, or you know, that kind of stuff, right? Because you're separated from your spouse when you're posted overseas or to another part of the country. So this is the whole idea. He's like, oh, I think there's only like an extra, it's a couple hundred bucks a month or $400 a month. Well, it's not very much. So this guy was like, oh, we can split it then. So he convinced her to like they should get legally married for the government benefits, for however that worked, and like this separation pay, because she would be like in a month or two posted somewhere. Anyway, so they're just going to get married there just simply just for the legal, you know, fraud, basically. So they go to like the padre on the campus. They have like, you know, a church chapel, and there's a padre there, Catholic priest, and they go to the priest, and they tell them the whole shtick, and of course they don't seem like a couple, and she's, you know, like certain lesbians advertise. Certain lesbians advertise. You kind of look at the haircut.
When was this? Like, just curious.
This was like almost 20 years ago. This was like, it's like early mid 2000s. So anyway,
I know who the chaplain was.
Okay, well, you can ask him. So they go to the chaplain, and they're talking to him. They tell him the whole thing. Oh, you want to get married? Oh, yeah, we're in love. We're a couple. And the chaplain just sits there and looks at them. He's like, no. 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 He probably didn't literally say that, but he was like, no.
Actually, yes.
He would have.
No. Because...
Well, he could tell, but they were like, we're gonna trick this educated, experienced, you know, wise old priest.
No, he wasn't a wise old priest. He was a young priest.
You actually know who the guy was?
Yes.
So whoever, it's better for the joke if he's wise and old. You're kind of ruining the humor, as you do. You're like, well, technically.
He's definitely an intellectual.
So, but this
he's
guy,
a very smart guy.
But he was like, no, they were like, the priest would marry us. Well, we don't know why. Because he looked at you and listened to you and was like, no. That's why. Because you're not a couple. A priest that's actually ethical is only going to marry people who are actually, you know, should get married.
And if he's a Catholic priest?
I think it was a Catholic priest.
And then he's going to marry you if you are Catholic. Otherwise, he'll advise you to go to someone else to get married.
Yeah, but sometimes in wartime, people of different religions get married by different clergy. Like, there were stories about...
Oh, no. In wartime, that sort of stuff. So, the canon law states that...
You're leaning out of frame again. You're doing...
Okay. So, canon law...
But what is canon law?
Church law. This is the
sure. It is canon law sounds like law regarding the use, storage, and permitting of canons.
Yes, I know it does.
You know what I mean? It's like...
But canons are also statements. So when you're talking,
that's canon. That is MCU canon.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Canon law. So basically, the law that is actually part of the law of the church states or used to.
Does the church also have laws regarding canons? Actual physical canons?
Probably did at one point.
There should be a cross on the barrel of the cannon to bless the munitions we're shooting at the enemy. Thou shalt not kill.
Basically, states that. Marriage If it, between two Catholics, if there is not a priest available within a year,
you count as being married anyway.
Yes. You just need to make a public statement and get married in front of a priest as soon as possible.
Right, yeah. That was the old kind of pioneering thing.
Yeah.
But even in like the...
Which I always found kind of funny because I think it's still canon law. But for most people, booking a church for your wedding,
yeah,
it's more than a year in advance. You need to book a church. So according to canon law, you could actually start living as man and wife before your wedding.
That's funny. It's funny because I had a cousin, she's Irish Catholic, her husband's Italian Catholic, so both Roman Catholics, and a lot of churches wouldn't marry them unless they were willing to live separately for a year. They've been living together for like a year or two, and they're like, time to get married now, and they finally found a priest who was like an older priest and was like, well, yeah, you should be getting married, so yeah, I'll marry you, and they were clearly a couple, they love each other and all that, but a lot of priests kind of like hemmed and hawed that they were like living in sin, and they were completely open about it, they weren't trying to hide anything, they're trying to be like, this is, you know, and I thought it was so interesting that it's like, so you don't want to marry practicing Catholics who want to get married in Catholic Church, but technically they're like, you know, living in sin.
Well, it's the there has been a long history, which is probably the worst thing about the Catholic Church, has been this propensity to try to avoid scandal at any cost, and that's the problem, is that it's the any cost part.
What's scandalous about marrying people who are living in sin? What's scandalous about that? Because now they're not living in sin. Now they're...
Well, basically what you're doing, and you're right, you are taking disordered is wrong term. You're taking a illegitimate union and you're making it legitimate. That should be a good thing. The problem was that it was seen as
legitimizing living together first.
Yes, exactly.
But under canon, as you just said, that is okay. But I guess assuming you're like too far away from a church for
that's kind of the thing. Is that,
yeah? Because there was some story, and I can't remember it well now. I read it like maybe in high school, but it was World War II, and I can't remember if it was a rabbi that married Christians or Jews that got married by a... I don't remember if it was a Catholic priest or a Christian minister. But there was something like that with the war and things were terrible. Yeah. And some couple wanted to get married. And both of them weren't what the priest was, but or rabbi, whoever it was. But they married them anyway. And it was kind of just one of those... It's a wartime thing. It's a holy man. We're married now.
So... laws around marriage are interesting. It's actually a really kind of fascinating thing to read up on.
Or boring. Depends what you like. If you like interesting things, it's boring. If you like boring things, it's fantastic. It's the best.
But there are only so many people who can legally marry you. So a Catholic priest could legally marry two Jews.
Stop hitting the table. Okay. The table.
Could legally marry two Jews.
Well, because in Canada, we have what we call legal officiants, and then there's like your religious officiant. So like the church has to say, oh yes, you're an ordained minister or whatever, you can marry religiously. And then anyone who like their check clears, you know, their e-transfer goes through, then they can be a legal minister.
Well, you have to basically sign the wedding
registry. Most are both, though.
The signing of the wedding registry is the important part.
In the church?
No, not in the church. Legally.
Oh, there's a legal one, too.
There's the wedding registry? That's a legal thing. That is not part of the church.
Yeah, but every Christian church has that big book of the people who got married there, and you write the names in.
That's
like the diocese registry or something.
Yeah, right. But that's something that, like, I didn't sign anything for that. The church kept the records of that we got married there. We didn't have to do anything. But what we had to sign, that was a legal document for the government of Canada.
Ontario.
That's probably Ontario, but yeah.
It gets filed with the provincial gewgaws.
Anyways.
Because that's why your marriage certificate comes in the mail from the province, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, hot tip. If you're getting married in Ontario, you buy, for some reason, a marriage license, which gets filed provincially with the province, like the state, if you're an American. You buy the license from the municipality. You go to City Hall and you buy the license. But the license the fee is set differently in different municipalities. So if you go to a little town, it might be significantly cheaper than if you buy it in a bigger city, which is...
Well, it's just an administrative fee. You're not actually paying for the license itself. You're paying...
It's only good for like 3 months, too. Like you got three months, and it's good for... If you don't use it, you lose it.
But the nice thing about getting married in the church is you actually don't have to deal with that. The diocese does.
I had to go buy mine. Our Anglican minister is like, oh yeah, you just go to City Hall, you buy the thing, you go there with your IDs, and then you give it to me, then I'll file and take care of it, no problem.
Are you Anglican?
No.
Is your wife Anglican?
No.
See, that's why.
No, my mom was going to... That was that.
The dryer has finished running.
That was the dryer finishing running.
So, Richard, and you're binging your phone? Jesus Christ.
That's because the dryer has finished running. My clothes are dry.
Well... That's good news that Richard has clothing to wear for...
It's not my clothes. It's actually the girl's clothes.
No one cares about the details of your laundry. No one cares about that. What were we talking about?
I care about that.
See...
Are you calling me no one?
Now, here's the thing. When we did get married, my mother was going to a church in the same diocese regularly and was a regular member and part of the music people there. So her minister said, oh, you can just say you're part of my congregation and you can get married in the big fancy church. That's where we want to get married, the big fancy church. So we did that, and like I talked to the Anglican minister there, and he's like, oh, there's a fee to rent the church. And I'm like, oh, I thought it was like less if you're a member of the diocese. He's like, oh well, yeah, because you know, like, we're gonna have our minister from, you know, wink wink, my church, my mother's church, you know, marry us. And he's like, well, you say you're a member of the diocese, so I guess you are, as if like I'm totally full of shit, which I totally was. But it was like, it's kind of a dick thing to say it. Aren't you supposed to be a man of God and kind forgiveness? Nice? Or are you just like a crusty old fart who's an asshole? I'm going to guess the latter. All clergy people are crusty old farts. All of them. I have yet to meet a gray-haired clergy person who wasn't kind of a crusty old fart and a little bit like, why can't people just do Jesus things? God damn it. It's because
you haven't met very many.
I've met a bunch. They're all crusty and they're all like. Brr, brr, brr. I also went to Catholic school down east. They're all like Irish Catholic, grumpy old alcoholics.
I was gonna say
so much alcohol in the clergy. The Irish like Catholic clergy, like the nuns too. The nuns are maybe worse than the priests. The amount of booze they drink, like when you put money in the collection plate and it goes to their salaries, straight to the liquor store. Straight, they right for the booze. I worked with a guy. I had a part-time job with him. He also worked at the Liquor Corporation of Newfoundland. And he said, you would not believe
how many
old nuns and old priests. And there was this one nun in particular. She was doing, I think it was like a 60-ounce. What's the big one? There's a 40-ounce and there's a 60-ounce liquor bottles. She would get one every week, like clockwork. And she would pull up in her car. You could see, like, she had, like, the habit and stuff on, like, the old school. We're talking, this is, like, 2002. So she'd pull up and park, like, right in front. And some other dude would park, some younger man. I don't know if it was a nephew or maybe, like, an orphan she'd raised or someone she had a connection with. But this younger guy in his 20s would come in. He would buy a 60-ounce of, I don't know what it was, rum, vodka, something. And... He would the plain bag, not the one with the liquor store stuff on it, yep. or like the no drinking driving like logo, none of that. It's a plain bag. He would go out and he would hand it to her through the window every week. Like, you could time it. You could like time your watch to it. And apparently, this was not uncommon for like older gray haired clergy to just, because this was like the old liquor store, like in like the downtown.
The thing is a 60-ouncer a week. It's a lot of
a lot of booze.
It's
man.
A fair amount of alcohol. However. That's not enough for an alcoholic. No, I'm serious. I was just reading something once again, Reddit.
That's not enough for an alcoholic. I mean, I guess...
A hardcore alcoholic can do a 40-ouncer a day.
A day?
A day. For years.
Oh, my God. How is that even possible? I guess you die young.
Yeah, no, basically... So we had... We had a...
But doesn't alcohol affect women more because they have, like, more estrogen than
men? No, it's not more estrogen. It's just less body mass.
Is this the body mass thing?
It's just the body mass thing.
So what about Autumn, that trans lady comic who came to the show for an interview, and she was like, oh, the hormones. I can't handle my liquor the way I used to when I was a man. Is there something to that? Or maybe if you're on the hormone drugs, maybe that's...
Possibly. Or it's just an excuse.
I used to be able to hold my liquor better when I was a man.
I don't know.
Is there any good science on that?
Probably not, because you're not allowed to study that stuff without getting labeled as phobic.
Yeah, I'm sick of all the trend. Like, yeah, but you know, some of the, these are the most extreme ones, but some of the videos, they always use like white supremacists when someone's like just questioning the trans movement. Like, not even questioning these
trans like,
people.
Have you ever noticed that most trans people are white?
Well,
it's because they don't want to be, they're guilty about being white. Oh, here's another interesting fact.
The only ones I know, though, are like two or three.
Something like 90% of trans people are on the spectrum. They're on the autism spectrum.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Where's that come from? Bibliography.
Where does that come from?
You know, 70% of all people can make up their own facts, Richard. Everyone knows that.
That's 90% of people.
17% of people can make up their own facts.
No, it's this is something that was my wife.
That's really yummy. Loon kombucha.
Who is a this is something that my wife came across. Who is an elementary school teacher.
She doesn't watch this, does she?
And so
does she watch this?
No, she doesn't.
Oh my god.
She would hate you for that.
I'm gonna get punched in the back of the head on our family camping trip this summer.
Yeah. No, actually my wife doesn't do that. My sister-in-law, on the other hand, will hate you for her.
Is your sister-in-law a trans person?
No, she's just she has PCOS, which means that she has very high testosterone.
I'm gonna leave that one alone. For self-preservation, I'll leave that one alone. What were we talking about? Your wife's not trans yet?
Yes. No, it's just basically that.
Yet. You said yes to yet.
Hey.
Whatever.
Something
that's interesting, though. There's like
This is a fact. This is a state thing that she ran into through one of the education groups that she's on.
Okay,
so that's where it came from. I haven't seen the study myself or the statistics myself, but okay. It was just a high percentage. And from the kids,
that's a Canadian study.
I think so. And from the kids that she's known who have identified, which has been quite a few. Yeah, it's like almost all of them have been diagnosed as severe ADHD or on the autism spectrum.
Yeah, but you know what, though? Like I know these...
This makes sense to me. And my wife is... She's a psychology major.
Cultured.
And my psychology training is reading her textbooks. But this makes sense to me from a psychological standpoint, is because people who are not neurotypical don't feel like they fit in. They don't understand.
Right.
They don't understand the environment around them. And the trans movement gives them a reason why.
Oh, that's interesting.
It gives them a cause.
Hmm.
It gives them something to, maybe I'm... different, not just
that's
because.
That's why I feel different.
Yes, yeah. That's why I don't identify as a guy. Like all the other guys, they like sports, they like this, they like that.
Right.
I don't identify with any of that stuff.
But you know, I know a lot of nerdy, like completely unathletic guys, and they had their peer groups and their buddies and their pizza Nintendo nights, and they had like.
But if you didn't have that,
if you didn't have other men like you, young men to rub up against and go Mario, like if you didn't have that, then you feel kind of like, oh, I'm alone. And if you have that social anxiety,
and
yeah, that's interesting. That's very interesting.
And sort of the and you can't identify with all of the things that guys are supposed to, you know. And you happen to
guy stuff.
Yeah, and you happen to like some girl stuff. Then it's like, well, maybe I'm.
But which is funny though, because a lot of that is actually cultural beliefs. Like here, like my son, my young son, does a ton of ballet dancing, right? And what's funny is like. We got a lot of family in Europe, right? My wife's, you know, Scandinavian or part Scandinavian. So when we tell them, like, oh, yeah, he's doing well in the ballet, they're like, oh. Because, like, over there, it's like, That's like one of the most masculine things you can do, is to be like a ballerino in the ballet, like lifting all the girls and doing all. That's like, wow. We're here, they're like, in the ballet, what are they, some sort of, LGBTQ plus? Is that what you're, why is he in the ballet? Why is he playing hockey? So why isn't he like, you know, playing homoerotic ass grab with all the other boys? Why is it him and a bunch of fit young girls being very close? Yes, because when I go pick him up and all the girls are a little bit like, because he's like the only boy in the class, usually, maybe sometimes there's two of them, but usually like he's the only boy in the class and all the girls are like, ah, and they all give him attention. And I'm like, just why would a heterosexual man want half a dozen pretty girls fighting for his attention? Why would you want that when you could shower naked with men? Why? Like, all I'm saying is, if you want your son to be masculine, put him in the ballet at a young age. It is. Yeah.
I can see that.
When I was in the choir in high school, my more stories about me, there was 60 people in the choir, our high school choir. It was a big high school. Anyway, there were four guys in the choir. Two of them were dating each other. The other guy and me were like, are you here? Because I'm... Yes. Because it's all these pretty girls who want to sing. It was like, and my buddies were like all jocks from like junior high and playing basketball and like hockey. They're like, you're in the choir. That's kind of gay. I'm like, yeah, have fun in the showers looking at penises. I'm going to be in choir class looking at cleavage. Enjoy. And people wearing yoga pants, which they hadn't invented yet. But we all wish they had. They had those tight slacks. Remember that in the 90s?
They had those hot pants.
The stretchy pants.
The spandex.
Yeah, but there was those kind of like those stretchy slacks girls would wear in the 90s. And I was just like, that was like what we had for yoga pants.
So there was hot pants, which were like, yeah, they're
spandex. Ooh, look at all them hot pants.
They were like.
How do we go from trans to hot pants?
Well, let's see if a trans
hot pants.
If a trans woman is wearing hot pants, you know if they've had bottom surgery or not.
Yeah, but unless they got them at Target and there's a little tuck. There's the tuck at Target to help you.
Yes, but no, if they're hot pants, 90s style hot pants.
Yeah.
They left nothing to the imagination.
So I don't understand why everyone got mad at Target.
It wasn't just so much that they had it. It was that they had that they
it was like the donut people at Walmart. You know the fundraisers at Walmart, like the hockey team, the swim club, the whatever it is, the high school, whatever it is. They get Krispy Kreme donuts, like a whole like minivan full or more, two minivans full, and they sell them at the big Walmart. And they make money from this, and Walmart just kind of does this. Yes, you can get access to our customers to help this local not-for-profit or charity or school or whatever they're doing. And the thing that I was wondering is like, why did Target do that, but with their own rainbow products front and center?
And have the most controversial trans fashion designer design the clothes?
Is it...
Like, this is someone who...
Are they just like... Were they... Because like, it's kind of a political statement, too. And, like, I don't think private business should really be making political statements because, well, one, it's going to hurt your, like, customer base because people believe in all kinds of things, right? But also, is it really the place of a department store, a budget department store, to be making political statements? Like, I mean, I'm not saying
if they had the products and just had them in their catalog and that sort of stuff.
Well, apparently they used to. Apparently they had their LGBTQ plus whatever like section, and they had all the stuff there. I think someone complained. I remember someone complained that like the swimsuits for trans people weren't in the weren't in the women's swimsuit section. But like, let's be honest, most women have vaginas, so they don't want a tucky swimsuit. They want a swimsuit made for a biological woman. So the thing was is that they would, for women with penises, they have special swimsuits, the tuck swimsuits, and those were in the rainbow section.
I think what happened and then is like that they put the rainbow section in the
front and center,
yes.
So you could find it more.
But I mean, not so you can find it more easily.
Just to kind of show, look at us, we're
progressive,
we're trans friendly.
Yes.
But the thing is like they don't do that for every. See, here's here's kind of my problem with the trans movement. It's that the trans people, like we talked to Autumn, our trans, mm-hmm. My trans friend from doing stand-up, that about 1 in 3,000 people in the general population may very well be, like, fully, like, trans diagnosed, not just body dysphoria, but actually trans. And they become like 2021, they still feel like they're trans and want to transition to some degree. So it's 1 in 3,000 people, which is like, what is it? It's like a third of a percent of a percent of the population. It's a very tiny amount of people. And then when I ask the question, what about people who are experiencing poverty but work for minimum wage, people who are food at risk, that's a higher percentage in our population. And we keep talking about the feelings of trans people, which are important. People's feelings are important. But what about the feelings of really poor people, like the feeling of hunger? Where is the focus? I know that's not as sexy or exciting as a lady with a penis, but I feel like it's more important than a lady with a penis that children who are poor have food. You know what I mean? Like, that's like, if I have to prioritize, like, my political, like, you know, ideas for equality, I feel like having dinner, everyone, you know, chicken in every pot, that's more important.
Housing?
What? Housing. But that's more important than being able to easily find a swimsuit that'll tuck your penis at Target. That's, you know what I mean? Like, that's, yeah. And that's the problem. And then when you say something like this, they go, oh, well, you're just a white breeder, cis, something or other, white supremacist, racist, which I find, like,
transphobic.
Well, the thing is like, most people in Canada, like a lot of people in Canada, the majority is white people still, where we live in our area of the
country. Well, we live in the whitest part of Canada.
No, I'm from the whitest part of Canada.
The washing machine has finished running.
Oh, more laundry. Yes. Excellent. Anyway, but like, when I grew up, there was like 3 black guys. Now they have 4. And the problems I grew up in. It's a very white place. We didn't have slavery. The only blacks we have, they came there because they wanted to come there. Or is it people of color? They used to be black, now they're people of color. But the only ones we have came with their own free will. Not slaves. But basically, where I'm going with this is, in a big circle, that if, generally speaking, most people where we live are white, then that means most people will be, who are trans, will also be white. If it's a spread up, you know, of the population. So how exactly would I be racist towards other white people when I am, let's say, 99% white? There might be a teensy bit of indigenous person in me, but generally speaking, I'm a white guy.
Then there'd be 3 or 4.
3 or 4. They're little. It's true. The native people of olden year were littler. Now they're bigger. Mm-hmm. Now they're much bigger. Is it wrong to make a fat joke about indigenous people? I'd say no. It's a fat joke. I think that's, you know what? That's actually us being inclusive. We're including everyone in the fat joke. All the cultures, all the religions. It doesn't matter if you're, like, you're Jewish or Muslim or Christian or white or black or red or yellow or probably some other one I'm missing. But everyone, we can make a fat joke about everyone. Except women. Women get really upset about that. Do trans women get upset about fat jokes, or they laugh at them because they used to be men?
I don't know.
Because you cannot refer to a woman with certain adjectives. You can't use big, you can't use large, you can't use hefty, you can't use jolly. You really shouldn't use jolly around Christmas time. Look how jolly you look. What? It doesn't work. You can't compare a woman to a dog. Even if it's like, wow, look at the pristine coat on that beautifully, perfectly bred canine. Kind of reminds me of my wife's hair. No, it doesn't work. Doesn't work. Also, any animal that's large, like a cow.
Or an elephant. Or a hippo. Hippo is definitely a no-go.
Good family friends of my... I think this is a joke that men did. A good family of friends of my mom's family in Quebec, they're dairy farmers, Scottish dairy farmers. And they, you know, they have tons of cows. So they would name all the cows after everyone they know. So my mom and all her sisters, they were all named after, like, or like cows were all named after them. This is the cow we named after you. She's a really big one. Excellent milker. Beautiful, huh? Thank you.
No, we had that. My sister...
Women love that. Women love my when old, you name a cow after them. A huge, huge cow after them. They love that.
Little girls love it. Until the cows, you know, it's... my oldest sister, We had a cow named after her, Emily. And that cow was a...
Where are you going? Where? What dangerous road are we on?
Was a ill-tempered beast.
The cow or your sister?
The cow. And so... when... she's probably about 17, 18, and she had a friend over for dinner. And this cow had been a menace for a while, and that sort of stuff. And eventually, it got so that my parents sent her off to get butchered. The cow, not my sister. And so, my sister has a friend over, and she's like, "Oh, is this so-and-so?" says her name.
Right.
"No, is this Sarah?"
Right.
My dad's like, "Yes." And she goes, "Good, I hated her."
And they're eating the cow?
While they have steak. And her friend had been so excited to have steak because her friend didn't have steak very often.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she couldn't eat.
Oh, because she knew the cow.
Well, she didn't know the cow, but she's never known the name of the meat that she was eating
before. Oh, I see. Yeah, people get weird. My cousin...
And the fact that it was the name of her, it was my sister's name, too.
Well, that's why, like, on, like, a dairy farm, if there's beefers, they have beefers to eat. You never name the beefers a name. You're, like, you call them, like, that one's roast beef, that one's hamburger, that one's meatloaf. Like, you don't give those cows real
names. Those are real names.
Yeah.
We had pigs called bacon and ham.
You're not personifying the animal with those names.
But the thing is that you eat a lot of old, on a dairy farm, you don't just eat the beefers, you eat old dairy cow, too.
Maybe if you're on a crappy dairy farm.
Oh, old dairy farm makes the best hamburger. Old dairy cow?
It probably does. It actually does.
Like, when I moved away from the farm, I couldn't understand why hamburger had no flavor.
Yeah, that is true. Older meat. That's actually a thing. It's that fancy chef in Sweden. He does this, like, aged dairy cow thing in his, like, fancy schmancy, you know, Michelin star restaurant. Anyway, on that cultured note of me knowing of a fact about a restaurant I'll never go to, thank you so much for listening.
Have a good night, everyone.
Have a good night. Richard's sister and a cow. What was that story about again? Your sister's ornery?
No.
Cow was ornery.
The cow was
ornery.
Yes.
Nothing like your sister.
She crushed my sister's foot.
Every story about the farm is terrible. It always, someone gets crushed to death. There's
no one
a fire.
Died.
We ate things we loved. Oh my
God. No one loved that cow.
No one loved that cow. We also ate things we hated.
The cow beat my uncle black and blue.
How does a cow beat someone?
He was milking it. It was my uncle, my dad. One, two. It was a partnership. But the cow kicked, and he was wearing coveralls.
Yes.
And had it unzipped because it was warm.
Right.
And the cow got its hoof, its leg, in the coveralls. And just went boop, 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 boop. And, yeah.
Dairy farming is not for the faint of heart. That is a real man's job. Am I going to get in trouble because I didn't say a woman's job, too? Or a trans man's or a trans woman's? Am I being inclusive?
It's a real person's job.
It's a real person's job.
It's a real job.
Inclusiveness. There we go.
Yeah.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Middle-aged man talk. Thank you so much for listening. Please check us out on Patreon. Woof.